Plus booklet. You've heard me talk about it before. However, I've heard that a few of you have not yet received it. I hope you will receive it, but most of you, I think, have received it. It speaks of the minus of the evil and suffering of the world with the plus of forgiveness, love, and eternal life. Its theme is the crossbeam. When Jesus carried the cross, he wasn't carrying the whole cross, as is often shown in pictures. He was just carrying the horizontal beam. For the vertical beam was there already, lying down, waiting at Golgotha. He carried the cross beam over his shoulder and went to the place where he was crucified, and there it was put on the beam that would become the vertical beam, and he was nailed to it. So the cross beam, the negative sign, becomes the plus sign of the whole cross. That's the theme of the booklet, isn't it? If you've read it, you'll know that. If ever there was a man who knew the minus of life, it was Job. You know the book of Job in the Old Testament? There were wars and battles on the frontier of his land, and he lost all his family. He lost his home. He lost his dignity. He lost his health. The devil was against him. Just like many people in Bosnia today, they've lost everything. Like many homeless people today. I bought this magazine. You'll have seen it on sale in the streets in Glasgow. I bought it yesterday, The Issue, the homeless magazine. I was reading in it the accounts of many of the homeless young people and how they became homeless. They became homeless because they'd broken the relationships with their family. The family had broken down and there was nowhere for them to live. They'd lost everything. Even older people who had a good house and a good job, they lost everything and they became homeless. Certainly they know the minus of life. Now, 1,500 years before Christ, Job, inspired by the Spirit of God, in the midst of all his suffering, knew that there would be hope for the world. And one day, he believed there would be a resurrected, living Redeemer, and that he, Job, would see him with his own eyes. And in seeing him, he would see God. These are the words of Job. I know that my Redeemer lives. This is Job 19:25. I know that my Redeemer lives. And that in the end he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. I myself will see him with my own eyes. I and not another. How my heart yearns within me. After I die, I will see the risen Redeemer, Messiah, with my own eyes. The book of Daniel, also in the Old Testament, says, multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. In the New Testament, our eternal life, we are told, is based on the resurrection of Jesus. John 5:25, we read Jesus' words, I tell you the truth, a time is coming and has now come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. Now the author of this booklet starts off by telling us about the news which we watch on our televisions. He draws attention to the violent crime against old people and children. The IRA, the death camps in former Yugoslavia, Somalia, and other things. Now, you don't want me, I'm sure, this morning to give you more examples. But let me just say this. The 20th century, I've said this before, the 20th century has seen more people killed innocently than all the other centuries put together of the history of this earth. At the end of last century, when science and education were spreading, people and philosophers and writers believed that the golden age was coming. Soon there would be peace, but their vision and their hope was shattered by two world wars. And so people wonder, how long is it all going to last? How long, O Lord? I was reading this week in Psalm 94, verses 3 to 4. How long will the wicked, O Lord, how long will the wicked be jubilant? They pour out arrogant words. All the evildoers are full of boasting. They slay the widow and the alien. They murder the fatherless. Why doesn't God do something, is what the writer to this psalm says. And the message of the gospel, as the booklet rightly tells us, is that God has done something. He is not indifferent to the sufferings of the world. But before we think of what he did, let us ask ourselves, what would we like him to do? Well, we might say he should destroy all the wicked people, all the dictators of the world. Would we like him to do that? Well, we say yes, then all the people would stop suffering. But we say yes until we remember something. We remember that we too have done wrong. And do we really want him to destroy us? How could we stand before God? You see, it's not just the dictators and others. You and I have done wrong as well. So how is God going to save us and finally rid the world of evil? The message of the cross is simply that Christ took the judgment the whole world deserves and freely offers us forgiveness and new life. He took the minus and he gives us the plus in exchange. And now is the time for you and me to accept or reject Christ. That time will not last forever. Why not? For the simple reason that God loves the world and cannot allow evil to prosper forever. One day he will say stop to it all. And some of us think that way will not be long. We may be wrong, of course, but we think that. Christ will come again to judge the world and really get rid of the evil. Now is the time to decide and accept the Lord's love. When people wonder why God does not do anything, what are they thinking of? They're probably wondering why he doesn't do something about the terrible diseases, the premature deaths, the hurricanes and the natural disasters. In fact, there may be someone they know who has been tragically struck down, and they wonder, why hasn't God done something about it? It's not fair. Well, let's think of what happened in the ministry of Jesus. He did heal the sick, raise the dead, those who had died prematurely. He calmed the hurricane, the storm. He forgave the sinner. God did do something about illness, death, and natural disasters. But at the same time, he taught us the way of righteousness, and he condemned the hypocritical leaders of the nation. He spoke against those very things that have spoilt the world and opened it up to suffering and injustice. And what did the people do to him? Did they say, thank you, Lord, for helping us with the tragedies of our life and raising the dead and healing the sick and calming the storm? No, they rejected him out of envy, the scripture teaches us. They rejected him out of envy. How much the world has been ruled by envy, your life and my life, perhaps. That's what we were considering on in the Good Friday service. So God did do something about all the suffering, and we rejected him. We rejected it. You may say, well, it was the politicians and the other powerful people who rejected him. Just like today, we blame the government and the politicians for all our troubles and the media. I blame them too, yes, I blame the government and the media. But it wasn't just the leaders. It was the ordinary people who said, crucify him. It's not just the bad leaders of the ruling the countries, all have done wrong. You've been hearing in the news about Italy recently, about how all the politicians have been found to be corrupt thieves. And so there's been a collapse of the political system in Italy. But all the commentators tell us, well, everybody in Italy is corrupt. They all steal. It's not just the leaders. The Bible says all have sinned. Everyone. And fallen short of the glory of God. You remember when communism collapsed a few years ago? Someone wrote a book and he said, this is the end of history. There'll be no more battles, no more killings. We're all going to live in peace. But he was wrong, wasn't he? The world is even more dangerous now than it was then. Because evil doesn't have its origin in fascism or communism. It has its origin in our hearts. And fascism and communism are just ways in which it shows itself. But it has its origin in our hearts. And what it does is break down relationships. Nations break down into tribes and races, one tribe against another. Tribes break down into warring families, one family against another in the same tribe. Families break down into warring partners, husband against wife, children against parents, etc. That happens in our own country, doesn't it? And it brings an enormous burden on housing and taxation. We get all the homeless people suffering. But there's an even deeper crack, and that's a crack within each one of us. We're all at war with ourselves. So the good that we want to do, we find we don't do. And the evil that we don't want to do, that we find ourselves doing. And all these cracks come from the most deep crack of all. We've separated ourselves from God. That's the real separation. So is there no way for God to save us, we having crucified Christ and rejected his way? Well, God had a plan. The Bible says it's the mystery hidden down the ages. Job, writing 1,500 years before Christ, saw something, got a glimpse of that mystery when he said, I know that my Redeemer lives. And God's plan was this, that he would, in Christ, suffer death at our hands and thus take the sting of sin to himself. He would suffer the punishment deserved by us all so that we might be forgiven and not condemned. The cross beam, the minus sign, showed what the world had come to. But at Calvary, the two beams were put together and became the plus sign so that the world might be saved. How do we know that that was true? Well, God confirmed it was true by raising Jesus from the dead. The resurrection turns the minus of darkness into the plus of light. The cross, which was at the center of man's evil, has become the logo of the love of God for all mankind. Would you wear a symbol of torture and wickedness round your neck? Would you do that? In this church we have a sign of man's torture and wickedness there in a prominent place. But we have it there because God has turned that into a logo of his love. The cross of Jesus was for us all. Jesus died for everyone here and loves everyone here. But that doesn't force us to be new people. We still may resist God's ways and choose not to accept his love and forgiveness and go our own ways. But he calls us in love to come back to him and believe, to put our trust in Christ. And I like the prayer that you'll find at the end of this booklet. And I hope that you'll pray this prayer if you've never prayed a prayer like it before. Let me read it to it. In fact, let us pray. We'll pray and we'll say this prayer now. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I respond to your invitation and come to you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. I come with all my sins and heartaches and addictions. I turn away from evil and turn to you, Lord Jesus. I put my faith in you alone. You are the Son of the living God. I believe with my heart what I now confess with my mouth. You are my Saviour, my Lord, and my God. Thank you for having accepted me as your child. I open myself for your Holy Spirit and will follow you all the days of my life. I believe you and receive you. I ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen.